Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Glad that for what we have already heard in the Sunday school time and also in the opening this morning. I was thinking during Sunday school that last verse talked about pulling money out of fish's mouth. And I had to wonder how many of us would be out there fishing if we knew there was some money out there in the fish's mouth. Sometimes we do things for reasons maybe that are not very good. And it's good for us sometimes to check up on why we do what we do. The other day, my brother and I, we went down to the dam, went fishing, took some of the boys with us. And I think we probably got something worth more than money during that time, spending time with the boys. Woke up this morning, I was thinking there was something going through my mind. I couldn't quite finish the phrase. My wife helped me help the last couple words there. Something I read in Calvary Messenger a couple months back. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This morning, we're not going to talk about any necessarily new things. 2 Peter talks about putting you in remembrance and to remember those things which we've heard, things that we've been taught as we're growing up, and yet being reminded of those things, being reminded of some things as we go through life. I want to look a little bit at possessions this morning. I guess for a foundation or a foundational verse, I want to read one verse out of Romans 12, verse 2, thinking about how society has put pressure on us. Romans 12, 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Society had to form, and they have put a lot of constant pressure on us to conform, at least in different areas as we go through life. A lot of pressure, conforming or putting in a mold, as it were. Some of the things that we do maybe are because of society around us. Some of the things we buy maybe because of society around us. Different ways we think. It affects us. One way of not being formed by society is by transformation. It says that we need to be transformed. Changing from the inside out. The Greek word for that would be metamorphosis, which we know how what happens, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. I had to think maybe there are worms here, worms digging in the filth and the trash of society and the world out there. We can try to get out of it, and yet as long as we're worms, we will always go back. into that. But it takes a transformation. New in motives and ends, even where the actions differ in nothing from the world. There's many things that us and the world, the society in general, do have in common or do things in much the same way. I just think of going out to work. Society goes out to work. We need to go out to work. We need to provide. We need have different needs. And yet, even in those things, our motives differ. They work so they can have. They work so they can have retirement, so they can have more toys, so they can have a lot of different things, more possessions. In Ephesians 4:28, it talks about working so we have to give to those in need. Other place it says, having food and raiment, let us be content. Not saying that once we have food and raiment, shelter, that we should stop working, but no, we continue to work. We continue so we have, so we can meet the needs of the world, meet the needs of those around us. I did think of the many needs over in Nepal right now with the two earthquakes, many homeless, many dead, and all around us, different parts of the world, it seems there's different needs come up constantly. But we're not here in this world necessarily for this life. We're only passing through. The way we look at possessions has a great impact on the way we live. My question is, are we living different than those around us? Or how do we view our possessions? When we view the things that we have as ours, we become afraid of God. Have you ever been in that place where you were afraid of God, what He would take from you? Instead of viewing God as a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God, we become afraid of God because we are not sure what He will require of us or what He will take from us because we view these things as ours. I know I've been there. And I believe many of us have been there. And maybe many of us are still there. But we do not have to be afraid of God. we become angry at God sometimes, maybe, because of things that we had, things we thought were ours that have been taken away. A year and a half old girl, daughter, that was taken away. I never got to see her grow up. Some of you have lost life partners, fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters. But we realize that they're not ours. When we realize they're not ours, we can thank God for the time that we did have with them, for the time that we did have. So as we look at that, we're going to look at some verses here. what the Bible says about our possessions, or what we think is might be ours. First verse will be in Exodus 19:5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Here he says, all the earth is mine. And there's many verses we could turn to that would indicate that. Psalms has a number of verses that says that the earth is the Lord's, fullness thereof. Turning to Psalms 50, we've got a number of scriptures we're going to quickly turn to here. Psalms 50, verse 10 through 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Here we see all the animals, everything that is in the world, being claimed by God. You know, we think so many times we feel like we work for this farm, we work for this house, we work for the animals we have. They're ours. And yet here, God is saying that everything here is his. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver and the gold is his. The money. How can he claim something like that? Didn't we work for it? Why can't we call it ours? Job 41, verse 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. We know that he's the creator of everything. He's the one that has given us breath. He's the one that has given us health, that we can work. He's the one that has given us all things. Genesis 20:33, verse 5, Jacob speaking to Esau. It says Esau, talking about Esau, and he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, talking about Jacob, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. And so many times we claim our children, and it's true, we're responsible for them, and we're responsible for the things that God has given us. And yet, it seems so many times we take a little bit further, and we claim rights. We claim rights to them. We claim them. Ezekiel 18. Verse 4 says that behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Here it says each individual soul is God's. We are not. Then in 1 Corinthians 19:6, it talks about how we are not our own. Speaking especially to us as God's people, to those of us who have accepted Christ, but even those who have not, God is still the Creator, and we are each one is still responsible to God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20 says, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." Not only were we created by God, but we were bought back the second time by the blood of Jesus. So he owns us. I was thinking, I'll read a verse here in Romans yet again. In Romans 13, it talks about how all power is of God. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And we was talking a little bit about that in our Sunday school lesson, too, about God has power over everything and anything. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. There's nothing that can stand in his way. There's nothing that can hinder him. And we want to keep that in mind as we look at our possessions. We don't have to be afraid of what God is going to do or what God is going to take, because they're not really ours. It's all his anyhow. First Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" So many times we feel like we want to look at ourselves as being successful, as having overcome obstacles, and so many times we give up some very important things for things that are not so important, because we look at possessions as as something that we have. So looking down through the list of some of the verses that we read here, what do we really have? What do you really have? What do I really have besides nothing? First, a story here. I want to read one out of Luke 12, starting verse 13. Here's a story that Jesus gave, a parable. 13 to 15 is the incident that happened, and then the story or the parable starts in verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Somebody coming to Jesus and saying, "I didn't get my share. I didn't get what was owed to me." And how many times have we experienced that in life where we thought we didn't quite get what we deserve? We didn't quite get enough. We should have got more out of whatever it was. But here he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now let's read down through verse 21. Let's notice the eyes and the mind here. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. Here we see a man, you could say a man of society, a man out there who had a very good crop, and yet it seemed like he did not take into account where the increase came from. He said, well, this is good. I can sit back. First of all, he said, what shall I do? Then he came up with a solution, because he didn't have enough to keep all that he had. He said, I'm going to build greater. I'm going to store everything for a later date, for retirement, for maybe later when I need it. And then I'm going to sit back and relax and take it easy and enjoy the last number of years that I have. But he did not take into account what God had in mind. He did not take into account that he had actually had nothing. He did not even have life for the next day. Verse 20, God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Here there's a number of people that have passed on in the last number of years, and they have taken nothing with them, nothing that they had here on this earth. We will all be at that point sometime, unless the Lord comes. But nothing that we have for, nothing that we have striven for so earnestly from day to day is going to go with us in the line of possessions. A number of weeks ago, I talked about a servant-master relationship. And it's somewhat maybe difficult for us to understand that because of the society we have grown up in here in America, here in the Western Hemisphere. There's it's not like it used to be. Maybe we're servants, where there's masters in the sense of back in the Bible times. But it does mention it in the Bible. And the question is, who is our master? Especially as we think of possessions. The servant back then had no possessions. He was there solely for the master. He did not have his thing going on the side. The servant didn't. When the master called, he was there. he didn't tell the master to wait a minute. I want to finish this thing over here first, and then I'll come over and help you. But he was there solely for the master. Whatever the master wished for was his command. How are we today? You know, we say God is our master. And yet, so many times, at least for myself, I find myself doing things on the side, having my own things going. Things maybe that I have to tell God, wait a while. I just want to finish this, then I'm ready. Can we relate to that? We can't go right now. We can't do this right now. I can't talk to this person right now. If he's our master, then he has our attention and he has our full attention at all times. You know, growing up, I always had, I kind of had this question in my mind. If a person can afford it, is it all right to buy it? I don't know if anybody else had questions like that. And we can't necessarily answer it in an affirmative or a negative way with a yes or no. It depends a lot on what it is and maybe where we are. And yet God has laid principles in his word. You know, we realize that if maybe we want to buy a truck, we want to buy whatever it might be, sometimes we look at somebody and we say, well, they couldn't afford that. They couldn't really afford that. Why did they buy it? We look at somebody else, maybe did the same thing, and it's all right because they could afford it. But how is God looking at it? We're talking about possessions. How does God look at it? I guess there's a couple things thinking about in the light of possessions. I had to think of borrowing and credit cards in the light of us serving God. And how God looks at it. And maybe we can't say that it's wrong or that it's right necessarily. And yet we have to look to God and allow him to direct us. 1 Timothy 6:8, it says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So many times we want more. And maybe we can't afford it, but we have a credit card, so we can put it on a credit card. After all, I can pay for it, right? I can work. I can continue to work, pay for it later. After all, the money I'm making is mine anyhow, isn't it? In Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower his servant to the lender. Now thinking of us being servants to God, and yet, who are we serving when we have a lot of other money borrowed? Here it says that we are a servant to whoever we borrowed from. It's important that we pay it back. So the question is, who is our master? We have payments to make, so who will go on mission? Who will go on to outreach? Who will help go over and help in the disaster service in Nepal, or when a tornado goes through different states? Who will go? I have payments to make. I can't go. I need to make my payments. I can't go. Some of these things are keeping us from serving God. You know, it seems like long ago, it wasn't so much borrowing. I realized that times have changed. Maybe it would have been the same if it would have been easy credit long ago. Things maybe were not as expensive long ago. And yet, what do you do with that verse? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know, God does own everything else. He can supply our needs. He can supply, give us the things that he wants us to have. And I'm talking to myself also. When I think about the credit card, it's a little bit like the devil's system, you could say. He says, enjoy now, pay later. That's a little bit what the credit card does. So you can have it now, you can pay later. Why wait for it? Why work for it now? You know, you can have it now. You can always pay for it later. You know, Jesus, in his word, as we follow Jesus, we expect to suffer now. He says that we will suffer persecution. He does not promise us a life of ease and enjoyment necessarily in this life. But he does promise us a very good retirement plan. Something beyond imagination. If we're faithful. It has been said that we can never never will get done paying the devil if we let him have his way. We have seen that in society, him taking over and wreaking havoc on people and families by his saying you don't have to pay now. You can enjoy your life now. Enjoy it. Do what you want. You can pay later. And what many people don't realize is what they have to pay. You know, so many times we don't take God into account when we do some of these things, when we buy things, when we we need to keep up with those around us. As I said earlier, society is trying to form us into their form. We need to be careful and not saying if it's right or wrong, but to think about what we're doing and to understand maybe what God wants for our lives. Not allowing society to form us, but being transformed by God and living for God. Think about things. Ask God about it. Not blindly accept what society throws at us. Society says that we deserve a lot of nice things, and that as long as we're working for it, we might as well enjoy it. But I don't really find that in the Bible. Another thing I had to think about was insurance. We have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our things. That's what, when we view our possessions as ours, it's a step we have to take. Sometimes to have everything from a lawnmower to our animals to our socks in our drawer covered. It's not insurance, maybe. Maybe it's a different name. And yet, what is it? And I'm not up here to say it's right or it's wrong. And yet, how do we view our possessions? We try to insulate ourselves from the real life. We try to insulate ourselves maybe from what we're afraid might happen. If God can supply. When we pay into something, we feel like we deserve to get something back. Something happens, we paid it, we covered it, so it's ours to collect and to replace. Many times it takes us away from the realization of, I can't help myself. I don't deserve this. And yet, the brothers are there helping me. It doesn't matter if we don't have all the things that we had before. A number of years ago, my house burned down. Everything that was in it. The only thing we had left were the things that we had loaned out. We were very, very glad for the things we had loaned out. If we had known it, we would have loaned out much more. You come to a realization that there's not much we can do. And thanks to some very generous people down there and up here, we were provided funds to rebuild but I didn't deserve it. I know it's because of the love of the brothers. Very humbling to receive help when you realize you don't deserve it. You can't do it yourself. And yet, how good it is for us to be in those positions at times. But when we are covered, we can go back from where we started. Maybe we don't really get to that place where God wants us to be. And I realize that homes up here are very much more expensive, and different things cost much more. I was thinking back about maybe some of the older people, our fathers, our grandfathers. I know years ago, of course, we carried insurance for liability to be legal on the road. But I don't think for our vehicles. But I don't remember that my dad ever had anything more than liability. And probably many of your fathers or grandfathers, whoever, probably didn't have either. But now we got bigger and better vehicles, more expensive vehicles, and we need to be able to replace them. We work for these things, so it's important that we continue to be able to live in the place where we reached. And I'm not sure, I never asked my mom, but I'm not sure if my dad ever had insurance on the house before CAM, before CAM, before Brotherhood Aid, whatever. But I am sure that if something would have happened, we would have still had food, shelter, and raiment. Because we had a brotherhood. Maybe not as big, maybe not as whatever, but it would have been provided for. And God can provide. God cares about the little things in life. We know that God cares about little things. We have proof of that, many different things that have happened. And yet, when it comes to spending for little things, maybe he don't care so much. Or maybe it doesn't matter to him. I want you all to know that I'm speaking as much to myself as anybody. It's easy when funds are available to go out to buy this and buy that, maybe without really thinking whose money it is. So many times we feel like we can't give to that person or this situation or that situation because we're not sure how the money is being used, and we are supposed to be stewards of what God has given us. And yet, no problem. We can go out and spend it on ourselves, forgetting that we are stewards, that it's not ours. And that's one thing I want to keep in my mind. With all the needs around, throughout the world. We forget sometimes. We forget how much how far a few dollars goes in some of these other countries. And we can go along and waste it on ourselves and yet not giving it to others because we're afraid of how they will spend it. I find that in my life very much. I need, God spoke to me in a very personal way about that. Just because I have it doesn't mean that I should spend it. I guess the bottom line is, where's God or His Spirit in my everyday decisions and spending? We are His servants. We're only taking care of what's His. It's not for us. It's important that we keep that in mind. In the society that we live, it's something that is affecting us. And we need to be careful, because the last days are here, and we want to be ready when He comes. May God bless. Let's kneel.
Thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for the many times that You have helped us through many difficult situations. Lord, help us not to view our possessions as ours. Help us, Lord, to be able to view You as a loving, gracious, merciful God. Help us not to be afraid of what You will take or what You will do, that we could recognize Your love for us. Help us be faithful servants of Yours. We pray in Jesus' name.
Well, we've heard a lot of good things this morning, and a lot of direction on how to view our things, our relationship with the Lord, our brotherhood, and the attitude we should take toward all of those. Appreciate it very much what Bruce shared on having a right concept of the things that we call ours, and because if we look at